First of all, I'll start with an apology because I didn't lose the spaghetti. I found it when I got home. I got home and there's the bag in the hall ready to put in the car. Two bags of spaghetti we had the whole camp looking for when we were cooking our evening meal. One of the themes of the evening's talks was about mountains being in our lives that can be removed. And God sort of, I can't share what God exposed to me and Margaret as a mountain, but I can certainly share that one mountain has been removed this week. I'm amazing to know that we didn't see it as a mountain. So, praise God, yeah?
Because I'm sure this mountain's moved.
On the mountain moving thing, that was a prophecy on the first night of Catalyst about mountains in our lives that weren't any problem to God. And really the whole of Catalyst, God was really speaking to me about a situation at work. It's that to do with the Bentham Road surgery, which you'll remember God called me to like last year, so I've not quite been there a year now. It's under big threat really from our point of view. We might not be able to continue to work there. It needs divine intervention for that to happen, and that has felt like a big mountain, because obviously, you know, God gave it to us, so it's a huge thing. But I was sharing this at the surgery on Thursday, that of the five meetings that we were there at Catalyst, three times out of those five meetings we sang that song Cornerstone, which is not a new song. There was no particular reason why we should sing Cornerstone that often, but it's one of our kind of anthems at the surgery. It's a song that's very special to us because it kind of summarizes what we're about. There were songs like that, Who Can Stop the Lord Almighty, which were really, really encouraging to me, and also Water You Turned Into Wine, which talks about not being able to stop the Lord as well. So all these were really, really encouraging. And then that first, I felt very reassured that God had his hand on the situation. And the first night we had that prophecy about mountains, and all I could see was like Bentham Road and Waterside, which is the other surgery that's associated with it, that we really feel God's given us, but we need a major miracle for those to come back to us to be ours. But it was like this mountain that I was looking at just went flat. So instead of it being a kind of triangle pointed like that, it sort of toppled backwards. So it became a highway, like, you know, a road in perspective, a big road in perspective. And we were just kind of speeding down this road. It just really, really encouraged me that God had his hand on it. And this morning, as we've been worshipping, God's just reminded me of this passage, which I'll try and find again. So it's gone now. It's a passage from Zephaniah. It's a very well-known passage, but I'll just try and find it again. I thought I'd found it, but it's gone again. It really reminded me this morning when we were singing that song, The Lion and the Lamb. It says, "Do not fear, Zion, do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but rejoice over you with singing." And years ago, God gave me a picture of, you know, the Lion of Judah, Jesus, a mighty warrior at the front of his army. And that's what we are. You know, the kingdom of God is advancing in Blackburn, as Lynn's reminded us this morning. And like it or not, if you love Jesus, you're part of that army. And we have a mighty warrior at the front of that, a champion, a glorious leader who is Jesus, right, you know, riding on a white horse, if you like, in sort of pictorial language. But as soldiers in God's army, we're not like expendable, just kind of like foot soldiers that can just be kind of wiped out and God doesn't care. Actually, in this picture that I had, our mighty leader was coming round the tents at night, the tents of his soldiers, and just singing over each tent, you know, just touching us with his love. Each one of us is so precious, is so special. And although we're part of this incredibly big, mighty army, each one of us is very precious. And so that's why God took time at Catalyst amongst 4,000 people to speak to me about something that was bothering me, because I'm precious to him. I'm one of his soldiers. I'm fighting for his kingdom, but I'm not expendable. He's, you know, he wants to touch you individually, to speak to you. You're precious to him.
When Angela was speaking, I was thinking of the Catalyst Festival. And I was thinking, if God, in the dead of night, let's say 1 a.m., 2 a.m., when it was dark, was just going around just as you said, Angela, every tent, God knew who was in and was just praying over them. It's a wonderful picture, especially when you see a huge, mighty showground filled with tents and caravans. Pardon? Oh, he probably took a detour to the Premier Inn as well. Yeah, and saw all the luxury on them. Thank you, Angela. We're going to have an opportunity to pray about some of these situations, about mountains and about God doing it in his own way, bringing them low. I like the idea of a mountain brought low and becomes something that benefits a highway. And that's how wonderful our God is. Anything else? Anything else? Out you come, Sylvanus. I think the kids are being rustled up, which is going to be good.
Thanks, Andy. I just want to share with you, the week before I spoke on the power of the tongue. Last week, I went and I shared with the folks them in Shadsworth, and I use that same message. But for that whole week, I don't know how many of you noticed on the preview, they have this Christian channel called TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. And I normally keep that TV channel on most of the night and stuff like that. But this is the message just keep coming over and over and over, the power of the tongue. And that reassured me, you know, if I did not speak that message, I was dishonoring God. But that was a confirmation that God was speaking to me to speak to you guys. And, you know, the gospel is there. And we need to honor God. When God says something to us, we need to do exactly what he said to us, you know, what you want us to do. We should honor God and be obedient to him and do what God said that we must do. So that will bring glory and honor to God. So I just want to, you know, encourage you to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he gives you something or he lays something on your heart, do it. Do it. Amen? Amen.
Thanks, Omar. Let's give him a clap. Yeah, great. Are we going to come out, girls? No? No? Well, I tell you what, we're going to sing again. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. Angela and Steve. And then there might be some more thinking and what's important to share.
Right, I just want to start with a psalm. It's Psalm 67, a song of thanksgiving. God the merciful, thousand blessings. Look on us with kindness, so that the whole world may know your will, so that all your nations may know your salvation. May the people praise you, O God. May all the people praise you. May the nations be glad and I sing for joy, because you judge the people with justice and guide every nation on earth. May the people praise you, O God. May all the people praise you. The land has produced its harvest. God our God has blessed us. God has blessed us. May all people everywhere honour him. For Angela, I'm reading it out of that. I've actually got pages here, because there's just so much that God's done, really. It was the first time at Catalyst, and I've been wanting to go for a few years, but I've always put obstacles in the way, and I don't really do camping. Near the time of Catalyst, Gina said about going down for the day, so I jumped at the chance, but I really wanted to go for longer, so I prayed about it. And my mum said, yeah, well, I'll look after the Sam and the dogs and while you go. And I actually paid for Saturday and Sunday for myself and Isaac. Isaac didn't really get a choice. He had to go. After the journey and Andy rescuing me, we unpacked and blew up the airbeds. And we went to the first worship meeting, which was absolutely fantastic. Then after supper and a late night, I got into bed. My worst nightmare came true. I were absolutely frozen. I put layers on. Everybody told me, layer up, layer up. Two sleeping bags. I was frozen. I only had about 2 hours sleep. So on Sunday morning, I were like a zombie. We had a scrumptious breakfast from Pete. He makes an amazing cooked breakfast. And we went to the main meeting. Again, the worship was fantastic. Now, through all the meetings and the seminars, you heard really about how God was using people and moving across the nations. And across our country as well. And we heard about the Great Commission. And it was just amazing to see through interviews from people how people was used to plant churches and spread the word. And one of the seminars I went to was a healing seminar. And that was amazing because you actually saw people being healed. I also went to one called Church Building with a Building, which I went with Angela and Jeff. I felt really that we were called to go to that, really, because obviously of the situation we're thinking about with our church. And it was really, really interesting. But I felt that it was a right vision for Blackburn to be out in a community and doing things in the community. We just need more bodies, which, again, really we need to be praying for, going out and spreading the gospel. Dreading another night in the tent, I actually went and had a sleep, just about half an hour power nap. And then I needed to go. I felt like, yes, because I'd only paid for Saturday and Sunday, and I took some money down to pay for Monday. But I thought, do I want to stop another night? So I went down and I thought, yeah, I will go. But then I had to pay on debit cards, and I only had cash with me. So I mentioned to Gina, I said, Gina, I don't know if anyone's going to go on a debit card, but I've got the money with me, but I need to use somebody's debit card. So she said to me, oh, don't worry about it, I'll sort it out for you. So I went down to pay for the bands, and when we got there, she said, it's been paid for. So I didn't even need to pay for that meeting, which I thought, oh, thank goodness for that. That's an answer to prayer, because really, I couldn't really afford the Monday app, to be honest with you, but I took it in faith. Slept Monday evening really, really well. Laid up, extra blanket, extra sleeping bag, hat and gloves, you name it. I was in that sleeping bag really, really. Yeah. And then the Monday evening, I think that was probably my highlight, really, of the evening, of the weekend, because we went and the worship was fantastic again. I was having to drive home and it was really, really late, and I was sort of previously thinking, have I to go before or after the meeting? But I thought, no, I want to stop to the meeting. And it was a really good meeting. But what was so amazing, how God uses young children. I mean, we had about 20 children for the Ignite, which is the very young children. And they're on the stage and they were giving these words of knowledge. about people in the meeting, and it was so specific. You know, an example was a lady with blonde hair in Red Camp has had a shoulder injury due to an accident. It was just things like that, and every single word of knowledge, people were responding, and I thought it was absolutely amazing. Now, after the meeting, I actually had prayer for healing. Now, I really wanted prayer for my hearing, because my hearing has gone down in decline over the last 12 months. And I do have sight problems. I can't see very well. I have to wear glasses when I'm reading. And on Sunday morning, I pulled this Bible out and I wanted to read it, because they said to us, turn your Bible to such and such. Angela had her Bible out as well, but we just couldn't read it. Anyway, I prayed, opened my eyes. Things looked like they were a bit clearer. The only way I could explain it was, if you turn over from ITV, you put ITV HD on. That's how clearer it was for me. I got home Tuesday morning, opened my Bible randomly, and picked out Psalm 67, and I could read it really clear. So I just think that, you know, I just praise God that He is definitely moving across the nations. He's moving across the Blackburn, and He is working. He's healing people. And if you don't believe it, the evidence is there every day. And I just want to really finish by saying that Catalyst was a wonderful experience. I overcame a worry about camping. Our kids were amazing. Daniel makes a super cup of tea. They all got on so well together, and they were all helping out. And I just think we've got an amazing family. And I just praise us all, God, for us all.
Right, Isaac. Your mum tells me you've got to come up. Hey, come on, Isaac. Can you see over the top of there?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
go on, you don't need it.
Yeah.
Right. Go on.
On Monday evening, which was the last meeting that I had, a woman came in and she told a story about how she met God and stuff. And then later on, we had, like my mum said, words of knowledge. And a girl had a really big bruise on her leg and she couldn't walk. And you could see the bruise. So the woman that was preaching, she talked in tongues and she prayed. And then the girl came back up and she could walk. And then she lifted her trousers up and you could see there was no bruise there at all. So then after that, everyone was getting prayed for, and I remember having a shooting pain in my ankle, and a boy came over to me and asked what my name was, so I told him, and then he prayed for me, and then later on I was walking and I couldn't feel any pain in my ankle.
Don't stop, you're on the roll. Okay, that's wonderful. I didn't know that about Isaac or about Michelle's eyes. It's wonderful. Let's give God a clap, shall we? It is. It's absolutely wonderful.
I'm just going to sit. No, I am. I'll tell you why. I'll get up in a minute.
If you can't stand up, we'll pray for healing. Come on.
So she can't speak in front of everybody, but I'm just going to hand the mic off while she's sitting here, and she can.
Come on. I can't speak. No, what I'd like to say is it's been 12 months in April since John was diagnosed with cancer, and he's doing really well. And on Friday, I'm going to take him away on a holiday for a week, which I never thought would happen. So I'd like to thank and still pray that we can get him back safely.
So praise God. So that's right.
Come on, Adam. Go ahead, chat.
Sunday night, there was a lady that came in called Amy. She was very powerful with her words, and she was very brave, really, because at the age of 19, she went to Afghanistan to, and she gave about 6 Bibles to Taliban people, and I thought that was very brave of her. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Hi. We went down to Catalyst on Sunday. At first, we weren't going to go because I've got trouble with my stomach and it's flared up on Sunday. But by the time we went, and by the time we got there, I was feeling a bit better. But after lunch, we went with Andy to the healing tent. And after a prayer for Tim, after about 15 minutes, Tim stood up. And he was taller than he's ever been for the past 18 months. And his shaking nearly stopped. But as people that went to Catholic saw Tim in the wheelchair, but he felt an awful lot better. And the young girl that was praying for me, prayed with me, and my stomach ache went completely. And I really enjoyed Catalyst. It was one of the best days out we've had for many a time.
I've been sort of thinking, what do I share really? Because God's been speaking to me over months and months and months and lots of things that all sort of link together. But I suppose the main thing is about living in the moment. And now, you know, you think about people live in the past. Well, I'm not somebody who lives in the past gone. But actually, yesterday was the past. And I think sometimes we can be so busy going over things that happened yesterday that we wish were better or that we're trying to work out, or we can be so busy thinking about conversations we're going to have and what we're going to have to do that we're not living in the moment and we're actually missing out. And that sort of verse about, or two verses really, about one about taking your thoughts captive and making them obey Christ, not allowing. I mean, I know that's Paul talking about spiritual warfare, but actually we can allow our thoughts to run away with us. And I think the enemy will use that. But being still in our minds so that we can just listen to God. Because if you're anything like me, you do an awful lot of talking. And perhaps aren't very good at listening. And I think it's something I need to practice more, the stilling my mind and not living in the past or the future, but appreciating now we've just been to the Isle of Wight for a week and it's been lovely. I know we've been on holiday, so it's different anyway, but it's been really lovely to live in the moment because the moment is all we've got. Yesterday, 3 hours ago, has gone and we can't do anything about that. And tomorrow, we might not have anyway. And a lot of time can be wasted worrying. You know, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. And a lot of time can be taken up thinking about what's gone and what's to come. And we're not living in the moment, I certainly. And I think that's something that has been echoed for months now in different ways, that this, we need to be living in the moment and listening to God for now.
Thank you. We haven't given her a clap. Good. Ah, right. Anybody else? We might have another one of these. Come on, Jeff. Just give him a clap, shall we?
He's no longer not wearing any shoes anymore.
No. Church weekends away, I always end up injured. So I've sort of tried to avoid them over the last few years, like the catalysts, and I haven't gone purposefully because I don't think it is for me. And that has changed this time. I think God spoke to me about that, because I usually go and I usually think that I'll wait for the last meeting before I'll get going on it. And during the first meeting, I said this to Pete. I said, I'm here for a reason, and I'm here for Angela, actually. I think she really needed to come to this catalyst. But then God started, I think, working on me. So it's not all about going for somebody else. It's not why you come to church. You don't come to church because somebody else comes. It's you're actually here for yourself. And there were several things. I think one of them was the meeting where me and Angela and Michelle went to. And it was about the building, but it wasn't about the building really. For me, it was about what we are as a church. You know, he was saying, sort of, what is your building's got to match who you are as a church. If you are going to go serve refugees, or you want to serve children, or you want to serve students, or something, your church looks like that. It naturally becomes that. And I looked around our campsite and I thought, what is our church? And our church is family. And that is what really struck me more than anything else. Right between the eyes, what is our church? Our church is about family. And we're there for each other. And I just thought, that's it. That's one of them. That's what this is about. And what can we do to increase the families in it? And how we can enable the people that haven't gone to Catalyst or something like that to be able to go next time, so they don't miss out. And what resources we can put into that. And 10 years ago, I went to New Day with the youth of the time. Now that them youth have got children of their own. And it's really frightening me that. I just went, whoa. And I remember Kerry and Ryan being sort of here. And now we're at the point of they're ready to go to New Day. Do I let them, somebody else take them? Who can do that? Or do we stand up and we go, right? And that was about. God was speaking to me. I want you to go to Catalyst. Me. Not go to New Day. He wants me to go to New Day. And I want to try to do that. And I'm going to need some help. And I also think that camping is not as bad as Michelle says. And it's all about preparation, right? And I've spent the last week preparing for New Day. Preparing, knowing what we need, because I've been before. And I know exactly what we need to do. And that is transferable to another meeting like Catalyst, which we might do as well. So there will be lots of different ways of getting there to enable us, the whole room, to be able to go. That's what I would like to see. And it's not because I want you to go, it's because God wants you to go. God wants you to be blessed in a tent, or in a caravan, or in a camper van, or in the Premier Inn. Don't miss this opportunity next year. That's what I'm saying. You've heard from Michelle. You're hearing from me. This is it. This is what can happen if you go. If you don't go, you're missing out.
Thank you, Jeff. Oh, I've got one more thing. Sorry, missed your time.
One more thing. And the other thing was that they tried to start on time, and the preachers get yellow and red cards. I will be initiating that. And I think we might have a few sendings off.
Okay. Thank you for that, Jeffrey. I look forward to a white card. Do you know what a white card is? You know what the orange card is? What's the orange card? Pony? A warning. A red card? Sorry, yellow. Well, to me, I'm colourblind. Looks orange, all right. Okay, yellow card. What are yellow cards? Everybody looked blank at me when I said orange. Warning. Red card? But there is a white card. Keep going. That's it. All right. So, I'm ready for the white cards. Okay. Right. Thank you, Jeff. Tim, you sit there, Tim. And
very little what Lynn was sharing with us about the golden days.
Yeah.
And what struck me about that was the Lord's moving. You know, he's moving dynamically. The same initiative that's both of us simultaneously. You know, and I find it's very, very encouraging. And then the prayer healing. God is moving, and first of all, I've experienced a real sense of God's presence. I felt it. And sorry, I'm struggling with it. First of all, there was a sense of God's presence that I was able to move around better than I've been able to for a while. But it's also to stop there isn't necessarily the case. God made it clear that he wants to do a further work. Don't set your goals too low. That's not what happened here.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Tim. You know, in a family, God does say things more than once about the same thing. And it's so encouraging to hear from Tim, from others, to hear how God is moving, God is stirring. And he conveys that to us. And so it's not surprising and shouldn't be surprising that God lays the same things on different people's hearts. Because we're a family. We're a family. And we've got the family on our hearts and the family advancing.
Is that okay? For me, Catalyst was an affirmation of a lot of things, really, or a confirmation of a lot of things that I've felt God's been saying to me over the last few weeks, really. And I think probably since I've retired and I've been seeking God about what he wants me to do with my time, what he wants me to do with the time I've got left, I suppose. And I've just felt that he's sort of taking me, not just me, but us as a couple as well, into a new season of ministry. One of the things I felt he said to me several weeks ago, and I think I shared it at the time, was obedience. There is a very strong call to obedience. And it's uppermost. And that was confirmed to me while we were there. That came through a lot of times, through a lot of the preaches, a lot of the seminars. It was a call to obedience. And that will mean different things to each one of us. From the youngest, children aren't exempt from that, to the oldest. So it's whatever is God saying to you about obedience. Secondly, it's compassion. So it's having a heart of compassion. And I've started to see that in our church already. Before we ever went to Catalyst, I've seen people weeping. I've seen people being stirred. And I believe that God needs us to have a heart of compassion before anything else. So if we're going to be used by God, we need to have that heart of compassion for the people out there. And for one another, yes, for the family of God, that's important. But also for the people out there who don't know him, who are lost. And then another thing that I felt that was confirmed was healing. And God has been speaking to both Anne and myself about the importance of praying for healing. And when we had the day at the surgery, really felt that God said, use that opportunity and go and ask people if they want prayer. Yes, we can talk about the church. We can talk to people about who we are. But I really felt that God said, yeah, that's good. But also go and offer to pray for people. People that are coming there are needy people. They're people that have difficulties, problems, not just physical ones, emotional ones, and all sorts of problems. So I just felt that it was like it was a first foot. It was putting the first foot on the water to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. So for me, I was so excited about that. I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to do it. And even though it poured down, and it really did throw it down, didn't dampen my feelings. I was just so excited. I couldn't wait. And we did see several people come forward for prayer. And I'm just trusting God for the fruit of that. But also while we're away, and I have been praying about healing, and maybe I'm stealing your thunder here, am I? No. So he picked up a magazine from the back, and started reading about Alan Scott and Mark Marks, and about healing on the streets, and perhaps we've mentioned it already. And it kind of felt, there was something special about that, something special for us, something special for us as a couple, but something special for us as a church. And then when I opened the program for Catalyst, who was one of the main speakers, Alan Scott, I was just blown away. I could not believe it, that it was Alan Scott who heads up this healing on the streets. It just seemed, wow, Lord, this was like a confirmation again. There could have been anybody there who was speaking, but it was him. So again, I was so stirred up and I was so excited to see what God was going to say through him about going on the streets and offering to pray for people. And yeah, it's a scary thing to do. It really is a scary thing to do. But if God's in it, and if God's leading the way, as Angela said, he's at the head of the army as we go out. We're just following behind. You know, he's doing all the work. He's the one that's fighting the battles for us. Then we're just going behind, and he's going to be praying over each of our tents, or whatever that means. And he's going to be the one that does anything, not us. He'll perhaps just use us. So I'm really excited about that and how God might be going to use us in that respect. And that was another thing that came through for me at Catalyst, was we need to take the church to the people, not expect the people to come to us. So that was another thing that I felt God was saying. We need to take the church. And that can be part of who we are, what we're doing in our jobs, or it can be ministry to the poor in whatever respect. And for me, one of the things that was mentioned to me, that Steve had asked the potential of maybe teaching some English classes to the refugees and the asylum seekers, because Andy and I, that was our main form of evangelism when we were in Japan. We taught English classes. We shared the gospel that way. And, you know, Steve mentioned that before we ever went away. And so I've been praying about that. And I went to a seminar about refugees and asylum seekers. And yeah, that is one need. That is one need. People need to be able to speak and understand the language of the country in which they live in. Otherwise, they're powerless, aren't they? And I believe God will open doors of opportunity for us to share the gospel. But he wants us, first of all, to take his love to those people and share his love to those people. The children's ministry, who was it mentioned that? Somebody did. Was it you, Michelle? That just blew me away. And I thought, these are just ordinary kids. They're nothing special about it. They're just kids whose hearts are open. And I thought, yeah, we could see that amongst our kids. Why not? Why not see our kids praying for the sick and raising the dead? And, you know, why not our kids? You know, we shouldn't think, oh, it can only happen at Catalyst. Of course, it can happen right here and right now. And our kids could be going out on the streets with us. And our kids could be praying for people to be healed. Why not? Our God's the God of the impossible. But one thing I feel today that he's saying is he wants to work today in some people's hearts today. And I believe he wants to heal people today of painful memories. So if that's you, then that's what he wants to do today. He wants to heal people's painful memories. As Christiana said, yesterday he's gone. 3 hours ago, he's gone. But sometimes the memories of those things remain. And those things can hold us back and prevent us from doing the things that he wants us to do from now on. So I just believe that if that's you, that today he wants to heal those things that maybe are holding you back.
Thanks, Lynn. Let's give a clap for Lynn. Great. Anybody else? I'm not going to share because I feel that I have many opportunities to share how I feel God's guiding us as a church and things to pray about. We're going to have an opportunity to pray about past pain and God to intervene. I do think, though, that if we can sing, Steve, worship a little and then give people the opportunity if they want to come and, you know, we'll ask, what would you like prayer for, and then to pray for them. And if people would like to be part of that prayer ministry, please, you don't need a special, if you feel that's what God's laying upon your heart, you and I are vehicles for God's healing. We are not the healers. He uses us. So if you want to be a vehicle, and you feel, you know, strongly about that, then you have to start somewhere. You step out in faith. You know, this is going to be a time of putting feet in water. All right? And we're doing it in an atmosphere of love. And we're going to do it also trusting and believing that God can work through us. Because he wants to. Because he wants to. So that's the invitation. But if you need prayer for anything else, anything, we can bring to God. We can't say it'll automatically happen, but we're going to bring it to God. And we will see God act. We will. We will see God act. So let's worship. Let's be encouraged. Let's be stirred up. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. It's been a very, very special time. And we're going to be reflecting on these words and challenges over the next few weeks and months. So
Let's stand and let's worship.
Or I would always be shy from talking about the gospel or praying for people or anything on that, and because it's a scary thing. And sorry, I suppose elders aren't supposed to say things like that, but really, really not. But actually, recently, I was at a prayer meeting and God broke the chain because who's seen Colin singing on the streets? Have you ever come across Colin singing on the streets? And when I've seen Colin sing on the streets, I've felt that I've had to say hello and whatever. But actually, previously, I've felt a little bit embarrassed. Yeah? Which is really bad. Again, Colin provokes me so much, but I felt embarrassed. Yeah? And that, and God broke me and said, and I wept, and I said, how dare you be embarrassed about another child of the living God praising and worshipping me in a public place? How dare you? Yeah? And I wept, and I repented, and God has, since that point, broken something in me where actually I'm probably the opposite now. If I'm probably praying in a crazy manner for people, and God wants, this is not just for Sunday morning, God wants us to move the kingdom of God outside on the streets. And I just want to back up what Lynn and Andy says. Normally, if they would have said, let's go pray on the streets, I would have gone. But actually, no. I'm just affirming what Lynn and Andy has said, is we need to serve this community in a blessing way. And I just want to affirm that Lynn and Andy and myself, and we're going to do this. You can come and join the party if you want, but actually God wants his kingdom outside of this building, and we need to go to the unreached. And again, these songs that we sing are only meaningful when we're reaching out the gospel. Yeah? They're only meaningful, they become unmeaningful and we get bored, don't we, when we don't do anything. But actually there's a whole town out there. Yeah? So I want to encourage you, if you have a chain like that, and it's a chain of not being, well, like me, being scared, please come for prayer and God can break that chain. He has broken that chain in me. If he wants healing, please come to the front. God, we have seen healing miracles. So I want to really, really encourage you. God can break any chain of disappointment, fear, but he will do it for the advancement of his kingdom. Yeah? So, sorry, I'll shut up now, but I'm going to hand over.
No, never shut up, Steve. Before we go, can we just stand for a few moments? No minutes here, moments. And I want us to close our eyes. Don't do this. You know me, I'm right staid. All right? But I really just feel that we're going to close our eyes, right? And so that, you know, we're not going to be conspicuous. And I'm going to pray for us. We've mentioned about these areas in our past that are painful. I'm going to close my eyes, so not even me. God's going to see it, all right? And if there has been some kind of pain, be it the immediate past or a long way past or midway, I just want you to put your hand up, put it, as it were, towards the front. We have it by the front, I don't know, because God's all around us. But and I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this wonderful people. I do thank you for brothers and sisters in Jesus. And I do thank you, Lord, that you want to touch each one of us. You have a mighty love for each one of us here today. And you want to touch and you want us to move forward in our lives. And there are certain things that hold us back. Pain in the past holds us back. And Lord, I just thank you for pain that you have brought healing to in the past in my life. And I can fully identify with Steve in many, 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 many ways, Lord, how you just reach out. And it's not based upon our worthiness. It's not based upon how long we've been a Christian. It's not based upon our position in the church or nothing like that. It's based upon who we are in you.
and you want to heal your children. And we are children here today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, would you bring healing to any Lord who have any pains of the past? Oh, would you bring healing in the name of Jesus so that we can be set free from it? It's severed in our past and has no influence on us today and onwards in our lives. And so that we can serve you fully with our lives. Lord, I want to pray about our lives. I want to pray, Lord, would you take us forward? Would you take us forward? There's more we're going to learn about all that that means over the next few weeks. But Lord, I just feel there's no shackles on these legs. We're going to be able to start walking. Nothing's holding us back. There's no chain around our waist anchoring us so we can't move forward. You want to take us forward. And you want to use each one of us in the places where we work, places where we live. Lord, you want to use us. And there's another prayer that was on my heart also for when Steve was speaking, is that there might be something physically or even mentally. And I want you to put your hand, you put your hand, not anybody else. You put your hand on that part of your body. And we're going to pray that God will heal you. God will touch and it's going to be better. And you're going to be able to testify, be it today or another time, of God touched me on that Sunday morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our healer. We thank you, Jesus, that you brought about healing. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you so empowered your people of the past and now to become and be vehicles of your healing. And I want to pray. I want to pray, Lord, for all the different healings that are necessary that are represented here today. I want to pray, Lord, would you send your healing power? Lord Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus. We heard that there is power for life. And I believe today, Lord, there is power in the name of Jesus for healing. And I want to pray, would you pour out your healing? Quite specific healing in people's bodies. And Lord, Jesus, I want you to be glorified in this. I want us to come up with true stories of what you've done. And so when we present these stories, people will be in no doubt that you are alive, that you are risen. And it will encourage our faith, will encourage other people's faith, but also will be an avenue for presenting the gospel. What Jesus can do in a life that's surrendered. And so, Lord, thank you for being here today. Thank you for every testimony, every stirring up, every challenge, every provoking that you have done through your church here today. And oh Lord, I pray that it's been done to glorify you. And I pray that in the future we might glorify you through our lives. Lord, we're handing our lives over afresh for you. It starts when we leave this place. Lord, you're going to bring people across our path tonight, tomorrow, this week, this month, and we're going to have wonderful stories of your greatness. Help, Lord, I do pray, would you keep us close to you? Would we lean into you? And so that we can hear every syllable that you're seeking to say to us. In Jesus' name. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen.